The information presented is for informational purposes only. The opinions expressed are not necessarily the opinions of any Daikin company. This information should not be confused for accounting, legal, medical, or other professional advice. Please seek advice from a qualified professional for any specific questions.
Welcome to the Accelerated HVAC Success Program. My name is Ben Middleton. I'm the National Sales Training Manager for the Goodman, Amana, and Daikin brands. Today, I am joined here with Jeff Underwood, the SVP for Sales and Marketing over at Rector Seal. And then we also have Fred Krusch, Head of Surge Protection Product and Sales for Rector Seal. Thank you so much for joining us. We're going to go ahead and get started here, but before we get started talking about surge protection, I just want to go down a memory lane here in the HVAC industry a little bit and talk about, you know, some of the other things that we've done in our industry in order to protect units and make sure that units do last a long time for homeowners. And so not too long ago with single-stage compressors and even the two-stage compressors, we talked a lot about hard start kits and putting those into systems. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Sure. So I think most of the viewers remember and have used kind of hard start kits to go ahead and help protect that compressor. And so a lot of the mantra, especially if you go back to the recips, was that you had to do everything possible to help that compressor start easy, not to have too much amp draw and try to make it last longer. And so that was very much the thought in the industry was, hey, if I'm going to go ahead and have a single stage or two stage compressor, I have to do all this extra work to go ahead and put a hard start kit in it. Mm. In fact, that was the genesis of a lot of the products we see today was around that compressor protection. And so that, you know, when you had a much more basic sort of circuitry and everything else that went into the unit, the compressor was the brains of the unit. And so obviously that's starting to change as you see variable speed compressors and as you see the amount of electronics that go into the units are dramatically higher than they used to be.
So we were talking a little bit before we got started here, even back in the old furnace market days, the furnaces probably had boards in them, or they did a lot sooner than the ACs got the boards put into them. And we had variable speed technology that was going into the furnaces. And early on, there were failures that we started to see in the boards and with systems operating properly. What was a lot of that attributed to?
So a lot of it has to do with the fact that whenever you have electricity going into the units, things happen. And so you saw it on all the variable speed furnaces. You also saw on the ductless units. I mean, a lot of the first ductless units, the main failure mode was the board got fried in some form or fashion. Mm-hmm. And so people had board failures as a lot of the rationale for why that early sort of technology failed. And so, Fred, feel free to add into it. But a lot of that just is electricity going to units and how you're drawing it to try to protect the unit.
Yeah, and surge protectors, the main reason they became so popular is they were a way to remove power disturbances from your equipment. Because the way a surge protector is designed, any of those disturbances or that surge energy is directed away from your equipment to the ground. So this was a technology that actually removed that harmful energy away from what you were protecting. You know, it became more and more popular, and the two of the drivers with surge protection have always been, you know, protecting your investment and keeping your equipment up and running. And surge protection has proven to provide those solutions.
So I remember back, I'll date myself a little bit, back when you used to buy a stereo and all these different components, right? You'd buy the amplifier, you'd buy the turntable, the tape deck, the CD player, and you'd stack everything on top of each other. It was a big deal to get the surge protector at that particular point in time because you wanted to protect this investment that you had. You know, how have surge protectors gone from, you know, that the home appliance, we were talking even about televisions today, you go ahead and buy that really nice television, you're going to buy the surge protector to protect it. Why is that so important in HVAC systems today?
Well, the main reason is just because of the sensitivity of the HVAC systems. The traditional plug strips that you would use to protect an entertainment system, they wouldn't see high energy, especially inside the home. But when you put a piece of equipment outside the home, all of a sudden they're vulnerable to utility issues, weather issues, and that energy is pretty high and can create a lot of damage. So you need something pretty robust if you're going to protect the HVAC system.
Okay. So a surge protector not only protects from the incoming power that you have coming into the home, but you're saying also that weather-related events that we can have for units that are sitting on the outside of the home.
Yeah, so surges are pretty much divided into two categories, internal and external. So if we look at external, which is really our main concern because the HVAC system is primarily outside, there's an issue with a utility system called grid switching. And our utility infrastructure's, it's 100 years old in this country. And the utility's doing everything they possibly can to provide power to their customers, They just don't have the bandwidth. So what do they have to do? They have to send power where the demand is. So what they do, and this is called grid switching, is when they move power from one substation to the next. And they have to do that in the morning for the city centers because everybody's headed downtown. And then conversely, at night, when people go back home, they switch power again. This happens all day long, every single day. So this is a massive switch of power from one substation to the next. And that creates such a huge inrush of current that it goes out into homes, businesses, major facilities. And you don't see that or hear that. It's not a big strike. It's not a big boom. It's real small blips that end up wearing down your equipment. That's why you need surge protection. On the weather side, surge protection became real popular because of lightning strikes, mm-hmm. and a surge protector is ineffective for lightning strikes. It's just too much energy concentrated, right? But there's a phenomenon called proximity lightning strikes when lightning strikes within 3 to 5 miles of your house. When it does that, especially when it's raining, it puts so much static electricity in the air, it gets on power wires and phone lines and cable lines and sprinkler systems and ground wires. And where's all that energy going? Right at your house and right at your HVAC system. So that's where you have to put the surge protection. So those are external events. On the internal side, you have motors turning on and off. Basically, when something is demanding power, it creates a huge inrush of current, whether it's a motor or the utility doing a grid switch. So that's what we have to protect against. And the challenging part is you don't see it, you don't hear it, until somebody hands you a circuit board and it's burned out. I'm like, how did this happen?
Sure. So what are the core technologies that surge protectors mm-hmm. use to protect systems?
Almost every surge protector that is manufactured today uses a technology called metal oxide varistors. This is a pretty incredible component. Surges are measured in millions of a second. That's how small and quick these things are, but they go into your equipment repetitively. So a metal oxide varistor inside a surge protector can turn on in a millionth of a second and react to that energy. And it's the only technology right now that can do that. So everybody is using it. You open up any surge protector, you're going to see metal oxide varistors, different shapes and sizes. But the whole purpose is to take that quick energy, move it away from your connected equipment, kick it out of the system to ground.
And to that point, one of the things that most of our listeners will know is that when they look inside a surge protection, you want to see that thing be potted. So you want to see it kind of set really nicely. Mm-hmm. And you don't want to have any sort of gaps where the MOVs are going to take time to kind of get engaged. And so you could see kind of a low quality product where it's not kind of potted like you'd expect on any sort of kind of running board, motor, et cetera. And so whenever you look at for an MOV, you want to see a potted MOV. That's a sign of a kind of high quality surge protection product.
So what you're saying is not all surge protectors are equal if they're all using the same technology?
That's correct. And there's a couple other technology pieces that Fred will talk through, but everyone has MOVs. And the first thing we'd want a user to think through is make sure it's a potted MOV to make sure it's going to quickly engage. because those MOVs, the millionth of a second makes a huge difference in terms of the board wearing down over time or not.
So are there ratings or some sort of a scale of the quality of a surge protector or some minimum capacity in order to be called a surge protector that these devices need to maintain?
Yeah, there's a number of different ratings. They can be categorized as performance ratings and safety ratings. Safety is the one that we probably don't talk about enough with surge protection, but UL is the safety agency for surge protection. So as Jeff was referring to the potted metal oxide varistors, UL is requiring that, right? So if you have the UL logo on your product, you have a safe product.
Okay.
From a performance standpoint, it's really more of a manufacturer's specification, right? Based on the components in your surge protector. So there's safety and performance. The performance is really measured by how many hits can your surge protector take and survive. That's really how we measure one surge protector from to another.
Okay. Is that is regulated by anybody, mm-hmm. or is it just each manufacturer kind of puts that out on their own?
Well, that's a good question, because UL, as a safety organization, does some surge testing, but they don't do it for performance. They do it for safety.
Okay.
So UL will hit your surge protector in the HVAC world 15 times at 10,000 amps. Now, that's to put that in perspective, lightning strikes probably 20 or 30,000 amps. So 10,000 amps is a huge hit, right? And UL hits it 15 times in a row. It's never going to see that much energy, because surges are typically less than 1,000 volts. Okay, so why does UL do it? Because they're a safety organization, and they want to make sure if your product survives, those 15 hits and doesn't fail catastrophically. So there's some surge specifications you can get from the UL safety testing. But otherwise, it's really up to the manufacturer to publish their performance specifications and be able to stand behind them with test data.
So when would you use a whole home surge protector? We see this in a lot of new home construction and in new panel upgrades that people are putting in versus at the appliance.
At the appliance?
Yeah.
Well, whole house surge protectors, they've been around for probably 20 plus years. And the reason whole house surge protectors were introduced is because inside your home, there are a number of appliances that typically are not protected. Dishwasher, how do you protect the dishwasher? Washing machine and dryers, no washer and dryer surge protectors. Refrigerators, you know? So how do you protect those appliances? Well, the rule in surge protection is to have the surge protector as close to what you're protecting as possible. Hmm. So how close can you get to those appliances? The closest place is the circuit breaker panel inside your house. So you put a whole house surge protector inside the circuit breaker panel, and everything downline from that circuit breaker panel is protected. Now you have protection for your, what we call white goods inside mm-hmm. your house. So it's a whole house surge protector, you know.
But just to be clear, on the HVAC side, you need to put a surge protector unit device at the disconnect box. And so that's best practice every single time, is you have that WIP, you have the disconnect, you put the surge protector right there. When you get to the indoor unit, you could use some of the whole home to help with the furnace because of the amount of voltage being done. But a lot of folks, as best practice, also put one right there next to the furnace. But no matter what, you need one at the disconnect box or the condenser, period.
Yeah, and a common question from contractors during training sessions is, well, I have a surge protector at my circuit breaker panel. It's whole house. So why would I need one for my HVAC system? Mm-hmm. Well, like I said, you want to have the surge protector as close to what you're protecting as possible. Now, on the HVAC side, the surge protector is installed at the AC disconnect right next to the HVAC system. Also, you put a surge protector inside the house, that's not going to help you outside the house with proximity strikes and some utility issues. So you have to have it at the point of use or the point of protection.
So what are the common warranties or guarantees offered by surge protection products that are out there?
So primarily in residential surge protection, you're always going to see two warranties, right? There's a warranty for the product, and then there's a warranty that was put in place mainly for the homeowner, right? The product warranty is called just that, the product warranty. And that's based on the manufacturer's confidence in the product, workmanship, materials. Some manufacturers have more aggressive, comprehensive product warranties that will replace their products regardless of cause or if it's damaged by electrical events. So that's the product warranty. That's usually a time period of 3 to 5 years. Mm-hmm. And that's when you can have your product replaced, right, in that warranty period. The connected equipment warranty is more of an insurance program. And what the way that is written as insurance is if the homeowner invests in a surge protector, right? They spend, let's say, a couple hundred dollars in a surge protector. That surge protector gets hit. That surge protector fails, and they lose equipment, a board, a motor, whatever. The homeowner is going to be upset because they're going to say, hey, I just spent a couple hundred bucks on a surge protector, mm-hmm. you know, per your recommendation. And now I have a damaged surge protector and damaged equipment. So the way the industry, meaning the manufacturers, look at that is our product didn't do its job, mm-hmm. right? Okay, so who's on the hook to replace that equipment? The manufacturer is. So they put these warranties in place. And they usually run, you know, could be 1 year, 3 years, 5 years. So over that period of time, the manufacturer will pay a certain dollar amount to fix that situation, to replace that equipment, right? But it's an insurance program. So the homeowner is required to check with their insurance company, and the connected equipment policy with a surge protector is secondary. And the manufacturers end up paying the deductible. So the bottom line is the homeowner's not out any money. Mm-hmm. So it's a lot of marketing, you know, because you want to have a program to offer the homeowner when they make that investment. But it's also a legitimate program that provides insurance and is peace of mind for the homeowner. Okay, I'm making this investment. If it doesn't work and I have damaged equipment, someone's going to cover it.
And the best way I think about it, especially for listeners, is pretty similar to how a man is marketed. And so think of it as you got a parts warranty. So if something goes wrong, you get a replacement part. But if something goes wrong catastrophically, you get a new unit. And so it's that same basic idea, which is make sure that you have workmanship, but then also have a selling feature to turn to that homeowner to say, why should you invest in surge? I mean, to put it in perspective, we're about to cross a very large amount of units in the field. And I think we've had a total of 4 claims for someone that had a connected device needing to us to step in, which we've done. But it's something to really help that contractor go ahead and explain to a homeowner to say, hey, I know this might be a few extra dollars. And mm-hmm. so if that contractors, especially when a new unit goes in, most of the time a contractor is going to bake it into the price of a new unit. But if a contractor is trying to sell it on a service call, which is a great practice, so you go into the service call, you go out there, you see that someone doesn't have a surge protector, you could say, hey, I could put one in today. And by the way, here's the benefit. It helps with that selling story. And so a lot of our job as manufacturers to help make it easier for a contractor to go ahead and pitch it and pitch on his own merits instead of having to bake it into the initial cost of the unit.
So I guess kind of wrapping back to where we started in the beginning, talking about, we talked a little bit about hard starts and we talked about surge protection and the different types. So if I have a single stage or a two stage compressor that doesn't have the board in it, would I put the hard start in? Do I put a hard start and a surge protector? Do I put just the surge protector? You know, what do I do for that unit? And then as we start to move to products like the Daikin Fit or the Amana S series and soon our brand new Goodman side discharge unit that we're going to be coming out with this fall, as we look at those types of products that do have boards in them, you know, is that something that we definitely want to make sure we put one of the surge protectors on? How do I apply all of these different devices that are going to give just a better experience and hopefully for a contractor, reduce callbacks?
Yeah, no, I think that's exactly right. So I think that, you know, starting place, about one out of every three installs needs to have a surge protector on it based off of the various speed technology, either on the indoor motor or on the outdoor compressor or just electronics to go ahead and access, you know, the Bluetooth to see how the unit's performing, everything else. And so essentially, if it has a complicated board, if it has a variable speed compressor, if it has a multi-stage motor, put a surge protector on it. If you get to more basic sort of single stage units that are not gonna have nearly the technology, a hard start kit is a great thing to have to go ahead and extend the life of that unit out. And so it was really kind of fit for purpose. But I think that one of the Amanda distributors I know really well said it best. They said, hey, surge is the new hard start kit, and trying to kind of get that known inside the industry that this is just an expectation, especially as people continue to go up the technology curve, that this should just be part of every single job in the same way that you would put a hard start kit on every single unit. You need to put a surge in every single unit, especially as you're kind of going up the technology curve of what's being applied and how you're using it. I mean, I go back that, you know, this addresses the number one reason that a Daikin ductless unit will have an issue, which is you had a board go bad. And so this gets at that number one reason that someone's going to call back out to do a warranty job, to go ahead and have a failure. You're trying to nip it in the bud to make sure it's a total non-issue.
All right. Well, thank you so much, guys, for joining us. Do you have any last words that you want to share with our listeners, our viewers here?
I like what you've done with the place. You've really updated it a lot compared to last time I'm here. So,
well, thank you so much for joining us. And I will say to everybody that is here with us today, please go ahead and like this episode if you'd like to see more episodes like this. Also, continue to follow us for all of the upcoming episodes that we have. Share it with a friend if you find this information useful. Thank you, Jeff, and thank you so much, Fred, for coming here and joining us. And we look forward to seeing you guys again in the future.
Sounds good.
See you.